Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to be back at one of my favorite churches, Westwood. I love this church. It is such a great place, and I'm so grateful to be back with you. We want to greet all of those in the West, in the Woodside room, and those listening and viewing online. I want to thank Pastor Joel for allowing me to be here on Mother's Day, and I want to wish all of the mothers happy Mother's Day. Congratulations, moms. You're amazing. So today we are continuing our series that was launched last week called Life Cycles, and you do have a place to take notes, so I encourage you to take those out as we begin today. I want to speak to the heart of all of you, though there'll be things that I'll say this morning that really only moms will get. So I pray that you will hang in there with us as I preach this message from my heart. And I pray that all of us together will be challenged as we hear the word of the Lord. During one of my early morning times, as I try to sneak out of bed, I try to be the first one up in the morning, right, in my house to get things done. I was sitting in my living room, my favorite place to do devotions. And as I was reading, I came through the book of Ephesians and came to one of my favorite verses, which is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. And it says this: I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of the Lord. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those of us he's called, his holy people, or his rich and glorious inheritance. Now, for any of us who study scripture, even minimally, we know that the prayer uttered above came not from a mother, but came from a son. Birthed in adversity on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul. His message is to the church, born-again believers in Ephesus, for whom he has labored so that they might know and understand God's love for them. His passion is that they might grow up well and wise and full of the knowledge of God, that they might be filled with light and forsake darkness, so that in their pressing they might comprehend with confidence how wealthy they are because they belong to Christ. Now, who of us being mothers, particularly Christian mothers, has not or could not pray this prayer for our own children? Who of us does not desire that our offspring would not delight in the Lord, find her identity first in him, make Christ his first love, trust in his plans even when life and its circumstances can seem grossly unfair? And who of us as children has not benefited or perhaps hungered for a praying mother to cover us, to speak life into us, to model integrity for us, to love us with this kind of committed passion? You know, as a child, I did not always understand the choices, the sacrifices, the rantings, and the emotions of my mother. And seldom do we until we find ourselves bleary-eyed and exhausted in the early morning hours with a sleepless baby in our arms. Rarely do we understand sacrifice until we live it ourselves. I don't think that I even came close to understanding the balance and the battle of motherhood and my own womanhood, walking the tightrope of selflessness and burnout, love and anguish, until I became a mommy myself. The good news is, no matter where you are in your journey, young and wanting, seasoned and waiting, busy or exhausted, you and I are not alone. The scriptures are full of examples of the prayers and pleadings and ponderings of mothers. Fully fruitful or heartbreakingly barren, the scriptures show us that the cries of our hearts and the sacrifices of our praises and our worship are seen and acknowledged by God, who is a promise keeper. Take, for example, Sarai, whose name, of course, was changed to Sarah, the wife of Abraham, who prayed desperately for a son, this son of promise that God had told Abram they would receive. We know that Sarah became weary in her waiting, and she saw the birth of Ishmael as a result of her hastiness, and yet God still heard her pleadings and remembered his promise and gave her Isaac after all. Or Jochebed, the mother of the great liberator Moses, who scripture says saw that he was a special baby. Moms, we know how special our kids are, don't we? We're the only ones sometimes that think they're really special. But Jochebed saw how special Moses was. She knew somehow in her spirit that this was a gifted child. But she could no longer hide Moses. So when she could no longer hide him, the word of God says she got a basket and made it of papyrus reeds and waterproofed it with tar and pitch. And she put that baby in the basket in the Nile and laid it among the reeds and then sent her daughter out to watch to see what would happen to the son of promise. What about Elizabeth, who had been barren until the Lord blessed her and her husband Zechariah to bring forth John the Baptist, who would foretell of the coming of Jesus Christ? And of course, the mother that we all love and know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, just a baby herself by our own standards, who was chosen to bring forth the Savior of the world, and who, looking in his tiny face, scripture says she pondered. She wondered, she considered in her heart, who was this that she had born? And who was she herself, a simple girl, that she should bear this incredible miracle? There is a desperation and a fierce love that only a mother knows. Let us look at one particular example today through the life of a woman who Pastor Joel mentioned last week, Hannah, who is the mother of Samuel. We're going to read quite a portion of scripture today, which is customary for me because I believe that it is important that we as Christians not simply live on one verse. We have got to learn to live in broad pieces of scripture so that we know and understand it. So yes, we are going to read a lot of scripture this morning. It will be on the screen behind me, and then we will go into some application for the morning. 1 Samuel. Beginning at chapter 1, verses 1 through 19 and 24 through 28. It says, there was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Eliehu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On these days, Elkanah presented his sacrifice. He would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you, and he'll be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound. He thought that she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded. Throw away your wine. Oh, no, sir, she replied. I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged. I was pouring my heart out to the Lord. Do not think I am a wicked woman, for I've been praying out of great anguish and sorrow. In that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed, and she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son and named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. "Sir, do you remember me?" Hannah asked. "I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life." What a message, and what a story of a dedicated mother. I want you to think about what that must have been like for Hannah. To live in a home where for such a long time she had prayed for this child. Now, mothers, we know that we're not asking for children simply because we want something to do. We're not asking for children because we want to be alone in the bathroom by ourselves. No, we don't want children because we want them to get in the shower with us, and we don't want them to run between our legs when we're trying to cook. That's not the real reason that we want to have children, right? We want to have children because we know that children are not simply the gift from God, but because God is a covenant maker and keeper. And that because our lives were created to bring forth life. Now, however we do that, whether they be birthed through us or we adopt them, we put our arms around children, there is something that is on the inside of us that calls us to care for and to bring forth these precious ones. Can you imagine what it would have been like for Hannah to have the other wife, Peninnah, living in her house? That would not have been my testimony. No. That wouldn't have been me. God knows when to bring certain people into the world. And yeah, Peninnah and I would not have had a great relationship. And she chose the choice times to mock Hannah when they were going into the tabernacle. And it says that Hannah's heart was so broken because she did not have this child, that she would weep bitterly before the Lord. And Peninnah would continually make fun of her. But how many of you know when God places a seed in your heart and he gives you a promise, you're going to stay in the face of God until it comes to pass? Hannah refused to allow Peninnah to steal what she had on the inside of her. Women and men of God, we must be people who live in the presence of the Lord. We must be people that whether or not God gives us what we want when we want it, we trust that he is good, he hears our cry, and in due season, he's going to bring forth the promise that he made to us. I praise God for Hannah's resolve, that she chose whether or not she was being mocked, that she chose to continue to believe that the promise of having a child was going to be hers. And she continued to press in and weep bitterly. Some of you know what it is to weep bitterly for a child. Some of you know what it is to be gathered together or to open the mail and to get another invitation for somebody else's baby shower and you wonder, when's it going to be my turn? When do I get to be the mother of promise? When do I get to be the one to throw a shower? Why am I the one that has to wait? This woman of God was placed in the scriptures, not simply for us to have something to read about, but to understand biblical resolve. And woman of God, if there is a passion on the inside of you to bring forth life, you keep that seed on the inside of you until it comes to pass. You stay in the face of God in the tabernacle, and you cry out to the Father until that promise is given to you. Don't give up. Even when you feel like you want to give up, even when you feel like you're going alone because nobody else knows what it means to lay before God on your behalf. So not only did she have to deal with Peninnah, she had to deal with Eli. Now, I don't know about you, but I would not have been favorable or appreciative of Eli's response once she came into the place where she was crying. Eli watched her, and seeing her lips, he thought that she had been drinking. "Must you come in here drunk?" Now, if he would have asked me that, I would have looked at him like, "Did you just ask me that question?" I would have had to go out of the tabernacle and come back in because I would have had an attitude in the presence of the Lord. Anybody else would join me. Anyone else would have had an attitude with Eli. Like, "Eli, you're fired." Because she had been laboring for this child. But instead, of course, she convicts me because she goes, "Oh no, sir, I am not drunk. I haven't been drinking wine or anything, but I am discouraged." People of God, when you are discouraged, be honest. When you've been waiting for something, be honest with God. Sometimes we feel as Christians that we have to be so spit-shined and polished, so perfect and wonderful, so angelic that we don't tell the truth. And this woman said, I'm not drunk, but I'm discouraged. I'm tired of waiting. My face has been soaked with tears. I have a seed on the inside of me, and God promised it, and I'm gonna stay here until that blessing comes to pass. You wanna know how I feel, Eli? Let me tell you something about waiting. Let me tell you about something, about longing to hold something in my hands. Some of you know that anguish. Or maybe you've birthed forth a child, but that child is like out there in the world somewhere doing their own thing. Maybe they've walked away from God and your heart is breaking. Maybe you and your spouse or you and your family are staying up all night saying, we raised this child and dedicated this child to the Lord and they have walked away from God. What are we supposed to do? Maybe you've got a child that's defending this country overseas. I want you to know, however and wherever you are at in this journey, I want you to know that the God of promise has put that seed of passion on the inside of you. Stay in the face of God in the tabernacle. Continue to be honest before God. Stop playing church and uber Christian if you are broken, and tell somebody and be honest. Because nobody can help you if you feel like you cannot lament and go before the Lord. Now, I know that there are some intercessors in this house. And I pray, intercessors, that for every person who is yet waiting and believing, you will stay in the face of God. You will grab the spiritual hand of somebody and you'll say, we're not going to go it alone. We are going to press and pray until we see the miracle working power of God. That is the kind of resolve that we have to have today, brothers and sisters. That is the kind of resolve that we have to pray. We have to be those kind of individuals, not only for ourselves, but those women all around the world who are asking God to protect their children in the face of confusion and adversity and death. Can you imagine today, as we sit in comfort, what those women feel like who are in Nigeria, whose daughters were taken from them? Can you imagine what those mothers who have buried their children in Iraq feel like? Can you imagine the Syrian mother this morning? Can you imagine what it is for those women? And yet they know the God of promise and know they will see their children again. For you cannot take from God anything that he has promised. And everything that gets taken, he will restore. So I am blessed this morning as we look at this and we look at the promise of God come to pass. We see that after some time of her praying, we see that she did conceive this child. And the word of God says that after Samuel was born and weaned, she took him back to the tabernacle in Shiloh. And they brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and flour and wine. And after sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And what does she say? Sir, do you remember me? Do you remember me laying on my face before the Lord? Do you remember me? Yes, it is I. It is the same one. And I want you to see the fruit of my tears. Here is the son of promise that God gave to me. And now, Eli, the priest, I am putting him in your hands. And I want you to raise him in the presence of the Lord. For I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. My friends, can you imagine what that must have been like for her? She prayed and prayed and prayed for that child. And then shortly after he was weaned, she gave him away. She must have had a profound relationship with her God. To say, I will feed and nurture him as far as I can. And now I will give him to you, Lord, and he will be yours all of the days of my life. I want to ask you this morning, what have you recently given up to the Lord? What have you birthed forth that you have brought to the presence of God and say, Father, here, I have done as much as I can. Have any of you felt that way as parents? Lord, I have brought this child into your presence the best that I can, and now I give him to you. I give her to you. I've got to let go and let you do this work. I'm telling you that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or imagine. And sometimes we've just got to press in and wait for him to do it. Amen? So I want to give you some things to think about this morning as we press into this message and we think about the things that we can glean from this. The first point I want to drive home for you is that God is not only a promise keeper, he is a covenant keeper. Do you all know that you are children of the promise? That God does not only promise something to us, but we are the children of God. We are the children of the covenant. The covenant that was ratified in the blood of Jesus Christ himself. For all of us who have been born again in that new and living way, it came as a sacrifice, not only through Mary, but because of the God of all creation said, I want you to live. And I want you to know that no matter where you are, maybe some of you sitting in here are frustrated with God. Maybe you're the ones that are shaking your fist at God. Maybe you feel like you're separated from God in some places. But I want you to know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, child of promise. God is praying with and for you, trusting that he wants to do something incredible in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. All of God's promises are yes and amen. If you have forgotten, open the word of God and go back to God and his promises. And as you pray, say, God, this is your word. This is your promise. This is what you have promised to me. Number two, I want you to know that prayer is powerful. Never stop praying. Never stop praying. I know sometimes it's hard for some of us to pray. Maybe some of us would say, I don't even know how to pray. Do you remember that when you don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit can groan for you? Any of you ever gotten to that point of utter sorrow that there's no words coming out of your mouth? Does anyone know what that kind of praying is like? To grieve and there's nothing that comes out but tears. Do you know that that's holy before the Lord? Do you know that when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit comes alongside and cries out on your behalf in a way that only the Lord can really understand? Don't be afraid to cry out that way. Don't be afraid to give your prayers to God. And if you don't know how to pray, know that there are many around you who know how to pray. Or go and get Stormy O'Martian's book, Power of a Praying Parent. Do any of you have that on your shelves? Power of a Praying Parent is an incredible book that teaches you how to stand and how to pray the word of God. Join together with individuals and pray. James 5:16b, you all know this one. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Sometimes I wonder if we've stopped praying big prayers. Sometimes I wonder if we've just started to test God by praying little prayers to see if he's actually listening. Anyone ever do that? Kind of flick a little prayer out there to God and wonder if he's going to take a bite? Okay, God, I'm going to flick one to you and see if you're going to respond. But God wants us to pray big, audacious, ridiculous, God-sized prayers. He wants us to continue to cry out to him. And then he wants us to have the resolve to stay with it until we see that come to pass. Some of you have been saying, yeah, but Pastor Laurel, I've been praying for 30 years. I understand that. My mother prayed for 7 years to have me. She had 3 miscarriages. Prayed for 7 years. Adopted 2 boys. And then bing, 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 came 3 girls. So when my husband asked me to marry me, my dad said, no take backs, no take backs. But they knew something about praying. They knew something about anguish. They knew something about tears. My husband and I waited 4 years for our own children. Anyone know what that's like to be in an awkward place like Cub Foods and somebody says, how come you guys aren't pregnant yet? Do you know how that feels? To somebody ask you that kind of question and you're standing in line and you've got a melon in your hand and you want to just turn around and say, okay, one moment, please. Woo! Yeah, you just have to pull yourself together, right? You're like, I'm trying to maintain my salvation right now. Just want to let you know if you don't back away about 10 paces, there's going to be a problem right here in the aisle. Right now. Why? Because that hurts. Somebody is essentially asking you, what's wrong with you? How come you can't bring forth children? How come you're waiting? It's one of the most intimate things that people can ask you. And the first thing that happens is you want to somehow cover yourself and hide. Because the answer is, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I don't have this baby yet. I don't know why I'm not pushing a stroller. I don't know why I don't have pink clothes. I don't know why I don't have onesies. I don't know. But rather than looking at me, would you take my hand and pray with me that maybe God would hear my request and would grant me the request of my heart? We have got to be so careful about the things that we say to people, the things that cause us to be in pain, and instead rise up and say, no matter what your circumstance is, if you have asked the Lord, I will join in prayer with you until we see God's plan for you come to pass. God's prayer for us came to pass in Naomi and Camille, now 12 and 14. But I've also seen God do incredible things through Young Life, which I have run, and 2,600 kids at Bethel. Some of those kids without moms or dads. Kids who are coming to Christ for the first time in their life. Do you know that there are young people whose parents have forsaken them because they've said yes to Jesus Christ? It doesn't just happen overseas, it's happening now. To young people who dare to say yes to Jesus when their parents don't. I want us to keep on praying. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Keep praying, keep believing, keep pressing. No matter what it looks like, walk by faith and not by sight. Remember that God is able. Remember that he is able. He's able to take your situation. He's able to take your circumstance. He's able to take your problem. He's able to take your infertility. He's able to take your sorrow, and he's able to use it for his glory, and he's able to use your life. Don't give up, even if it's not coming the way that you want it to come. God is able. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might even ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, all generations, all generations. That means, parents, we are to move this word forward from generation to generation. I understand that we want to give our kids an inheritance. We want to give our kids a good education. We want to give our kids lots of blessing. The best thing you can give your child is a spiritual legacy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The very best thing you can ever give your child is the power of Jesus Christ in their life. Give it to them. Finally, two last things. Offer yourselves as living sacrifices. We know something, parents, about sacrifice, do we not? Some of you look like this morning, so I know that you know something about sacrifice. Grandparents, I've heard that you're like, oh, grandparenting is payback. It's a sweet deal. We can give your kids chocolate, breakfast, lunch, and dinner and shush them right back to you. But parenting is a sacrifice. And the Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. For this is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Parents, the best thing we can give our kids, grandparents, the best thing we can give our kids is not only a spiritual legacy, but an understanding of what sacrifice is. Teach your young people sacrifice. Teach them now what it is to tithe, to offer, to give away parts of their money, to get off the telephone, to put away their Xbox, to take a Compassion International child, to serve at a food bank. Can I tell you that teaching them sacrifice is a blessing? Giving students and kids what they want is parental suicide. I'm just saying. And young people who think that your parents are too protective, shh, just do what they tell you to do. Be quiet. Just be obedient. I had a mothering moment there, excuse me. I just had to get it out. I'm grateful for a protective parent. I'm grateful for a daddy that took me to dances and taught me what a woman ought to be treated like. I'm grateful that at 84 years old, my parents have been married 56 years, that my father still loves my mother the same, still treats her the same, still honors her the same in our presence. She is number one in his life. And I thank God that he taught us, if you're going to be married, it's not about the wedding and the spending of the money. It's about sacrifice for the sake of someone else. Teach your children sacrifice for the sake of someone else. And tell them the story of the sacrifice for their lives. Finally, my friends, keep your vows to God. Hannah vowed to God, God, if you give me this son, I will give him back to you. I promise you, God. I want to encourage you that whether you have made a secret vow in your heart to God, whether you've cried out to God and say, God, I promise I make this vow, keep your vows. What you have promised to the master, keep. For he not only has heard your vows, he wants you to keep those vows. On this Mother's Day, on this day where we celebrate mothers, I want us to celebrate the fact also that we are children, that we are children of promise, that we are miracles because we have been saved by grace through faith, through a sacrifice that several of us can hardly even comprehend, the sacrifice of the only Son of God. So may we this morning, as we remember Hannah, as we remember her life, as we remember her vows, as we remember her stick-to-itiveness and her prayer, as we remember what she went through until she got this promise, may we be as she was, people of promise, people committed to stay in the presence of God until that which he has promised has come to pass. For he who has promised is faithful. Amen.